parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We praise you that we can open it and read your word to us. And we pray, please, again, that you would help us to be ready to listen and to apply your word to our lives. Amen. Who is it that God welcomes? Who is it who can come to God, that God accepts? Who is it that can come into God's presence? There are two common views. There are probably others, but there are two common views. One is that God welcomes good people, the respectable people, those who've lived up to a certain moral standard, maybe particularly the religious, after all, those who've taken the time and got up early on Sundays, got to church, even in bad weather. They deserve something, don't they? They deserve to be welcomed into God's presence, maybe. Surely God welcomes such people. And yet, here we have a parable in which the morally bad person is accepted and justified before God, and the good religious person is not. The second view is that, well, not that the bar is high, but that the bar is very low, or maybe non-existent. In other words, that God welcomes everyone and anyone, and particularly, maybe, those who are immoral. Jesus was known as the friend of sinners. And again, as you look at this parable, you might get the impression that, well, maybe immoral is the way to be. In fact, you might think that being a religious leader would be a terrible thing to be. So which is it? High bar? Low bar? Welcomes those who are good and respectable, or welcomes everyone, and maybe with a leaning towards the immoral? Who does God welcome? Well, let's get into the parable. We're told right from the outset who the parable is aimed at. Verse 9. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So we're told right from the outset, this is a parable particularly aimed at those who think that they are okay with God and who look down on others. And we're going to unpack that by getting into the parable. In the parable, we are told, verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So let's take them in turn. First, the very good Pharisee. The very good Pharisee. Dick Lucas, who was pastor of a church in central London, I listened to his talk on this passage. He's always a good guy to listen to. He said at the beginning of the talk, don't despise the Pharisee. And that's right, don't despise the Pharisee. That's our danger, because if you know your Bible at all, you know as soon as Pharisees turn up, they are probably the baddies, and therefore when they turn up, arrive on the scene, you immediately want to boo and hiss and recognise that they're the villain. And therefore we miss quite how good this Pharisee is. You see, the Pharisees were highly regarded in Jesus' day. They were committed to the Lord, and they were committed to the law of the Lord. He was a genuinely good person, this Pharisee. He says of himself, he is not like other people. And then he lists a few things, doesn't he? Verse 11, have a look. He says, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Now, that sounds like he's just listing a whole load of really, really bad things. But that's not what he's doing. Actually, the word for evildoers, the word in the middle, is just the word for unrighteousness. It's a word for general sin. So he's saying, look, it's not just that I'm not like the really bad people. I'm not like most people. I'm not like normal sinners. I'm good. And not only does he not do bad things, he does a lot of good things. Verse 12, he says, I fast twice a week. Now that is more than the law required. He's doing far more than the law required when it comes to fasting, going above and beyond. And he says he gives a tenth of all he gets. Well, that's pretty good. He's generous with his money. Now, as Dick Lucas rightly says, don't despise this man. There's a lot to commend him. This is a person, you see, whose religion has hit home in his life. He doesn't just give lip service to following the Lord. He isn't just nominal. This is someone whose life has been changed by his religion. It has hit his stomach, because he fasts, and it's hit his wallet, he gives. And aren't those marks that we might think of as being things that would indicate someone is genuinely a believer in the Lord? People will often say that the last thing to be converted in someone is their wallet. No, which is to say that when someone becomes a Christian, it is a submission to Jesus as Lord, and it needs to be a submission to Jesus as Lord in every area of life. But it takes time, doesn't it, for that lordship to impact every area. And sometimes the last area to be impacted is our finances. And therefore, we tend to think, well, if someone is generous in their giving with their money, surely that's a sign that they are a genuine believer. Well, this Pharisee's wallet had been changed, as has his diet. I wonder how many of us could say that, that being a Christian has changed what we eat. His religion, you see, seems to be complete. Yet he's not okay before God. What's the problem? Well, it's seen, isn't it, in the way that he prays. He says he stands in the temple, verse 11, he stood. And it says in our translation, he stood by himself and prayed. Some translations have, he stood and prayed to himself. Yeah, God was the person he was addressing, but God is more of an audience in this prayer. Because the content of the prayer is mostly about himself. He basically thanks God that he is such a good guy. And it's on the basis of his good life, his moral standing, and his going beyond the requirements of the law that he thinks he's okay with God. Now, we need to heed this warning, don't we? It is quite easy for you and me to assume, maybe as we thought at the start, that God welcomes good people. because of the good we do and the bad things we don't do. Maybe we think we're all right with God. But it can be more subtle than that, as with this Pharisee. We can assume we're okay with God because of the changes God has made in our lives. So maybe we see in our lives that there are some sins that we used to do that God has helped us stop doing. Maybe you used to be someone who used to talk about people behind their backs, or you used to be economical with the truth, or you used to be someone who would get angry a lot. But now God has changed you, and you don't do those things anymore, and it's great that you don't, that the Lord has been at work in you. But the danger is, we might think, aren't we then more acceptable to God because of those things he's changed in us? Or maybe we can point to things, ways in which we serve God more now than we used to. Maybe you give more money, or you serve in other ways. Aren't we tempted to think, well, I must be a bit more acceptable to God, and I probably do more than most other people. And maybe, as I look round this morning, I do a bit more than most others in the room. And don't we then start to look down a bit on others? It's not the looking down of from a mountaintop to a valley, but maybe it's the height of a curb. Just a little bit of looking down on others. Maybe it's quite easy to be a bit like this Pharisee. Thank you, God, I am not like most people. I don't get drunk or watch bad things on the internet, and I do my Bible times every day, or most days, and give generously. Lord, thank you. I'm doing better than most. We're not so far from the Pharisees, or the Pharisee in this story. But he wasn't justified before God. Let's turn to the tax collector, the humble tax collector. Now, tax collectors in those days were despised. They were hated. They were known for being bad people. The system was more complicated than this, but the tax collectors, they were collecting taxes on behalf of the Romans, the occupying forces, which meant that they were traitors. Traitors to God's people, the Israelites. They'd sold out. And they were known for being immoral in their collecting of taxes. That they would collect more than they should and line their own pockets with it. They were known for being bad. When I was a youth worker at a church in Eastbourne, the vicar's eldest sons were in the youth group. And at one point we got to talking about, what do you want to do when you grow up? What job do you want to do? And the eldest one, being a good older son, said, well, I want to be a vicar like my dad. The second one, being a bit more rebellious and knowing a bit of the Bible, he said, I want to be a tax collector. Well, in Jesus' day, it would have been a terrible thing to be a tax collector. It would have been as if a daughter had become a prostitute. You wouldn't sort of announce that in public. You wouldn't admit that in conversation. So too if your son became a tax collector. And yet, in the story, here he is in the temple praying, which probably didn't happen very often with tax collectors. He's there, standing at a distance, eyes down, not even looking up, and beating his breast, a sign of sorrow before God. Clearly, this is the polar opposite of the Pharisee. Pharisee stood boldly in the temple. This tax collector is just inside the door, at a distance, maybe in the outer courtyard of the temple, only just inside, and filled with guilt and remorse. And his prayer is most definitely to God. It is a pleading with God. Verse 13, he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The word for mercy there is a word that is particularly relevant being in the temple courts, because it can mean, turn your anger away from me. The technical word is propitiation. We use that word in the communion liturgy. You may wonder what that word means. Well, it means to turn anger away from. That's what he's asking for. And the temple was a graphic illustration of the need to have God's anger turned away from your sin. Because in the temple, you have the temple building, and outside that, you have the courtyards. Outside the main building, in front of that, you have the altar on which animals were sacrificed. Animals sacrificed in place of the people. What the altar said was, God is angry with sin. Sin is a big problem. But there's a way that they can be dealt with if the animals are sacrificed in place of the people. God's anger turned aside onto those sacrifices in place of the people. Now you see, this tax collector is saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know I deserve your anger, God. So all I can do is plead with you to turn your anger away from me. You see, this tax collector is not going to be taken in by a message that says, God loves everyone and everyone's okay before God. The attitude that, you know, God welcomes everyone. No, this Pharisee, this tax collector, knows the truth. Oh, there is some truth in what people will say there. God does love everyone. Psalm 145 says, he has compassion on all he has made. God is loving towards all that he has made. But that doesn't mean everyone is in good standing before him. The tax collector knew he wasn't okay before God. He needed God's anger to be turned aside. So here are the two people going up to the temple: the Pharisee, who was very good, and the humble tax collector. Okay, so let's return to the issue. Who God welcomes? Well, we see it here, don't we? Verse 14. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. God welcomes those who humble themselves. Let's not miss that. God welcomes those who humble themselves. The Pharisee, you see, was not acceptable to God. Clearly not because he'd done good things, but because he wasn't dependent on God's mercy. His attitude to God was, look at me, rather than help me. He didn't think God should be angry with him. He thought God should be impressed with him. He didn't bring before God his sin, but his list of achievements. And the tax collector was justified by God, not because he was immoral, but because he was dependent on God's mercy. That's the key. The Christian life begins and continues in just this attitude. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Maybe there's someone here today, someone watching online, who's tempted to give up on God or give up on Christianity because you say, if only you knew what I'm like. If you knew what I've done or the things I think, you wouldn't want to know me. You wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. God would never want to have anything to do with me either. Maybe that shows you are actually beginning to go down the right path. But don't turn away at that moment. Come to God and ask for mercy. And maybe there are others here who are tempted to think that their standing before God is probably okay because you aren't as bad as some. But that's being like the Pharisee, isn't it? And the Pharisee should have known better. If you'll allow me just a little bit of elaboration on the story. You see, the Pharisee should have known better because in order to get into the temple, he would have had to have gone past the altar, the place of sacrifice, which should have humbled him. And he should have been reminded that he could only enter because of the blood of the sacrifice. And if he'd just, as he'd prayed, if he'd just turned round and looked out of the door and seen the altar, maybe it would have humbled him. Now, we don't have an altar. We have something better. Because the reality is that the temple was, as it were, only a temporary measure. The altar and the sacrifices were a temporary measure that really pointed to the final way sin could be dealt with. The animals were sacrificed in the place of the people, but they pointed to Jesus' death, where Jesus was the real sacrifice. When he died, the anger of God was being turned onto him. Because there on the cross, Jesus took the full force of God's anger at sin. And the only way you and I can come to God is through Jesus' death on the cross. So turn your mind to the cross, and that will humble us. We can't come before God in self-reliance or looking down on others if we have Jesus' death in our sights. Who does God welcome? Thankfully, it isn't just good people. It isn't those who think they've made it, those who think they deserve to come before God. But it also isn't simply that God welcomes everyone or that he welcomes the immoral. No, he welcomes the humble, those who recognize they're wrong. Yes, we may have done terribly bad things, but if we will come before God humbly, ask him for mercy, we can be justified, washed clean, declared not guilty. Those who come to God knowing their sin, knowing they deserve God's anger, who come to the cross for mercy, asking that God's anger be turned aside for them, he welcomes in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you welcome those who humble themselves. Father, we find it so easy not to be humble, to come before you with a list of things we've done or ways you've changed us, and to think that we deserve to come into your presence. Father, we humble ourselves before you now and recognize that we deserve your anger for our sin. Plead with you to have mercy on us. And we thank you for your promise, for Jesus' promise, that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Father, we need that. We need you. Amen.